In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, how did you do with your Regina Caeli so far this year? At the low masses on Sundays, we say it together, as we've just now done, because the Regina Caeli is one of those Catholic things that gets easily forgotten, and creatures of habit as we are, we go to the longer prayer of the Angelus instead. But the beauty of the Regina Caeli is this, that each time you do, when you pray the Regina Caeli, what our blessed Lord, ever the dutiful Son, did these 40 days between Easter and Ascension Thursday, you make a little visit, a visit of joy, to his blessed mother. Consider the great joy when you say that prayer, which you give to Our Lady. It reminds her of that first visit of Jesus early on the morning of his resurrection from the dead, and that at least once a day visit that he made. Could you say the same? Are you careful about your visits here to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, your visits at home by means of your daily prayers and devotions? And all you have to do is just pop your nose in and make a little act of reverence and say a prayer. The Regina Caeli is so short in comparison with the Angelus, isn't it? It's a good little joyful prayer to say frequently throughout this season of the year. There's always a little challenge with the little ones, learning their prayers by heart, some of them for their first communion. It could be the Apostles' Creed or sometimes the act of contrition. And then sometimes the act of contrition gets promptly forgotten over the summer months. What's the solution? Why, say it. Say it often. Don't just say it to say the words, but say it with this idea. I'm going visiting today. I'm going to visit Jesus, the cross, act of contrition, Mary, in the joy of her son's resurrection, the Regina Caeli. But as I'm talking about Easter joy this rainy, holy day morning, Easter Sunday already seems far away, doesn't it? It's 40 days after the fact, and spring, beneath all of this rain, is slowly hardening into summer. And we're busy with summer planning and end of school things. It's a joyful time, of course, First Communion and graduation and confirmation. But it's a busy time, and we could forget to visit. That would be a shame. 40 and 40. The rain this season should make us think of the 40 days it rained for Noah and the flood. Remember, it's hard to remember back then, isn't it? Those 40 days of Lent, the purposeful prayer, the penance, the passion of our Lord. And now, it would be only fair to match them. There are 40 days of rejoicing. They're not quite over yet. They get another 10, because this is the Feast of Feasts, all the way through Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, as it is called. That's when the Regina Caeli comes to a close. But in our lives, you can't say, okay, now this is the time to be joyful, and this is the time to be sorrowful. You never know what a day or a season may hold for you. It's like life itself, or like the holy sacrifice of the Mass or the turn of the Rosary mysteries. Even the place where the Ascension occurred points to that truth, Mount Olivet or Gethsemane. That's just where our Lord's Passion started all of those Thursdays ago on Holy Thursday night. And that's just where the world, did you know that? The world's going to come to an end, and Jesus is going right back there to the Mount of Olivet, to Gethsemane, to judge the living and the dead. What a thought. What a thought for us. But on Ascension Thursday, surely the apostles, and most of all their Queen Mary, had their hearts crowded with all of these holy and wonderful thoughts. The contrast, all of that humiliation and sorrow and temptation, the agony, the garden, which means a struggle to the death, versus the triumph and the joy of this day. Almost at this time, the Ascension took place at noon, remember, when our Lord went up in glory and light and joy into heaven. The stones of Mount Olivet witnessed Christ's sweat of blood, and they're still there. They say that no one's ever been able to get them up. And if you ever are able to get over to the Holy Land, you can still see our Lord's two footprints in stone. You can still make them out. They tried to build churches over it, but our Lord never allowed that. He wanted them to be in the open, just so you had a straight target right to heaven. And perhaps some of the same olive trees that saw our Lord weep and sweat and bleed, perhaps some of those same trees are still growing in that garden today. And they saw the pain, and they saw the betrayal, and the kiss of Judas, and our Lord being captured and loaded with chains and marched off. But when we think of these things today, they can't but be for us a cause of joy, because they're the token of our victory. And they are for us a terrific help for prayer. For the mysteries of the Rosary or the mysteries of the Mass, and especially today we're focused on our Lord's glorious ascension. That's what we call it in the Mass right after the consecration. But how do you pray? Well, I said before, if you need to learn a prayer, you just keep on repeating it all day long. It won't kill you. In fact, it might do you some good. And then pretty soon you'll learn it. If children forget their act of contrition, well, it's just because they've stopped saying it. But how do you pray quietly and think about things? Questions. What children love to do most of all is to ask a zillion questions, don't they? Why? Because that's how they learn. Now, that's how we adults, too, like children, may pray if we ask questions. Who's there at that scene today? Blessed Mother and the apostles. And what were they thinking? What were they doing? What was it like? Especially five. Think of the number five. I mean, for the five senses, they're almost all engaged at the Ascension. Sight. What did they see, Our Lady and the apostles? They saw our Lord's holy face, and they say it was like another transfiguration. His face started to shine like the sun, except it was the sun you could look at, not exactly like the miracle of the sun for the children at Fatima. And then they saw our Lord's eyes, and they were not angry eyes, but they were glowing with love for his mother, for his followers, and for you. And then, see, our Lord, he raises his hands to bless them all before he goes on up. And as he does, they see his wounds in his hands. And then they smell something. It's a fragrance, not like a perfume, but something they've never sensed before. You know, they talk about the scent of the saints, Padre Pio's glove. Oh, this was far more beautiful. They smelt the fragrance from his five glorious wounds and the sense of touch. They were allowed, and Our Lady went last, to kiss his wounds, to say goodbye to Jesus. And finally, his feet. And then the feet, you barely would notice it at the beginning, started to go up just a little bit and then a little bit more, and he was ascending into heaven. And then you can hear our Lord's last words to the apostles. Well, St. Luke says that they should not depart out of Jerusalem, that they should be finally, after the Holy Ghost comes, witnesses to him in all the earth. And St. Mark in the Gospel says that they'll heal the sick. And both of them are very beautiful last words from Jesus before he goes on up to heaven. The apostles are watching. They can't take their eyes off our Lord. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? There could have been a noise next door. Somebody could have joined the crowd on Olivet. Do you think they turned around and looked? I don't think so. They were watching Jesus Christ, the Son of God, go back to his Father in heaven. And they just kept on staring with admiration until the angel came down and spoke to them and told them, well, now they had to get busy because our Lord would be coming back that same way. So from being hard to think of even one holy thought on a day like this, a holy day interrupting our work and school week, you might say there's so many of them, we could barely think of them all. People sometimes ask, if you get talking to them and they find out that you are a traditional Catholic and you have the Mass in Latin, they sometimes ask questions, and they mean well by asking those questions. A lady cleans my teeth at the dentist's office, the hygienist. She was wondering if we said the Stations of the Cross in Latin during Lent. And I said, well, no, we say those like the sermon in English. And somebody recently was speaking with a Protestant teacher who's a very conservative man, and he wanted to know if all of the people in our church know Latin, and would the sermon then be in Latin, or would there even be a sermon at all in our Mass? But what really confused this last gentleman is that when he was told, well, you're not required to follow the service word by word. You can always pray by yourself in silence. And when that man heard this, I am told, he was struck silent. He didn't know what to say. He had never even thought of such a thing. But we Catholics never think twice about it. It's our way, isn't it? But to him, it was a radical thought. But the only question is, what do you do with your silence? It should, all of this, leave you speechless at times. You couldn't say something if you wanted to. In the processions we've been making the last 3 days, we asked our Lord by his admirable ascension to deliver us. Liberanos Domine, we chanted. May our Lord deliver us today and every day at Rosary and Mass from noise and from distraction. And if it starts to crowd in, you remember your five, and pretty soon you'll have more than enough to think about and to pray over it. The wonder of it will leave you too lost in admiration. Lost, but also found. And that's the promise today, delivered from evil by his admirable ascension. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.